All right, if you will, take your Bibles tonight. Go to Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, John chapter 12, Luke chapter 10, and John chapter 12. That story and that song, in a way, will go with this. Luke chapter 10. Be in prayer for the meetings this week. Need a lot of praying. Need the Lord. And I need the Lord to come in. Luke chapter 10. And we'll start in verse 38. Luke 10:38. Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Now go to John chapter 12, and we'll start in verse 1. John 12 and verse 1. "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead." Wouldn't that be something? Have dinner with somebody, came back from the dead. Really came back. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. You wonder what the conversation was. You know, there's Lazarus, there's the Lord, and there's other people there. The Bible doesn't record, doesn't say. Lord says, no, you don't need to know. And so it's not, but you just wonder. I mean, I don't think it was just silence, you know, everybody just staring at him or something. You know, I don't know. I don't think it was that way. Verse 3, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, 'Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?' This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein." Every time I read that, it's real cynical. But every time I read that, I think of all these charity organizations. You say, what is it? They're just a bunch of thieves. Boy, that's just, you know, cynical, I know. I mean, some of them do good. But, boy, there's a devil. And the first thing you think of, well, why wouldn't this sold and given to the poor, you know? And then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, God, I thank you that I'm washed in the blood. Lord, it's good to be saved. And Father, I pray now that you'd clear our minds and our hearts from the cares of this life. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you'd meet with us. I pray you'd bless. I pray you'd speak to hearts. Lord, God, I believe this is what you'd have me to preach. And Lord, I thank you for Sister Williamson singing that, Lord, and giving that testimony and just kind of confirming it, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you would lead, guide, and direct now. God, help me. Lord, I am nothing. Lord, God, I just pray. I pray that I would obey thee. I pray, God, that you'd bless this message. And Lord, as you deal with our hearts, I pray, God, that we'd submit to you. I pray, God, that we'd repent. I pray, God, that we'd let you be our God and our Lord and our Master. And we'd take our hands off our lives and let you place your hands on the steering wheel. God, I pray that you'd bless. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's an amazing thing how God's people oftentimes don't have a clue what God's doing in their life. It's amazing how people will go through life and, I mean, save people. I mean, you understand the loss. They're not going to understand what God's doing. A lot of them don't even believe in God or got a messed up view of Him, whatever. But I'm talking about saved people. Oftentimes, what's God doing in your life? What's God's will for your life? And I know a lot of my preaching, I come to this and I mention this and I wrote a book on, you know, the years that I was trying to figure out what God wanted me to do. And every day that goes by, I still try to figure out what God wants me to do, what's God's will for my life. I've never gotten over the fact of what a privilege it is that the God of glory would have a job for me to do, and I want to find out exactly. I was praying today. I said to my wife, I said, do you need the bathroom? And she said, why? And she said, well, no. She said, how long are you going to be? And I said, a couple hours. And she looked at me like, I said, you say, why? Because that's where I go pray. And I wanted to find out, God, what do you want? God, what do you want me to preach? God, what's your will for my life? God, I want to do your will. And it's amazing how often God's people just go through life not knowing exactly what God wants them to do. And then the other amazing thing is the ones that know don't want to do it. You know, that's just pure rebellion. Can you imagine God saying, here's a job, no, I don't want to do that. That's an amazing thing, man. It's amazing. But man does not readily comprehend correct spiritual things. Oftentimes, I mean, how many times in the Bible does the Lord say, oh, ye of little faith? Oh, you little fat, you're dull of hearing, see, you know, I mean, there's things I'd like to say, there's things I'd like to utter to you, but you're not mature enough. I couldn't say it right now. And over in the Bible, I mean, it's just like man is just dull of hearing, and God's wanting to communicate, God's wanting to minister and do things, and he's like, you know, he can't, you know, because they're just so distracted by the things of this world. And I know to a certain extent, it's understandable in this respect. God says, my ways are not your ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. I mean, it's to be expected that God is so far superior to us. I mean, there's a certain element there that, yes, you know, we understand that. But when God's trying to deal and trying to communicate and show you what he wants you to do, and man, just oftentimes, they just don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. I mean, the Lord's dealing with the woman at the well, Samaria, and they come back and they're astonished that he deal with a Samaritan, you know. And then someone speaks up and says, Master, eat. And he says, I have meat to eat, you know not of. And they go, anybody bring him some bread? And he's like, my meat to do the will of him that sent me and accomplish his work. I mean, they're thinking that, you know, he's talking about, you know, bread, and he's talking about doing God's will. And over in the Bible, I mean, the Lord's just, he's operating in a different realm. I want to be where God is. I want to be aware of his doing. But he says, oh, ye of little faith, are ye yet without understanding? Know ye not? And on and on and on. It goes like that. And every now and then, and it's rare, somebody comes along who is aware of what God wants them to do. Or what God's getting ready to do. And they come along and they're, you might say they're plugged in, you know. I mean, they're clued in. They know what God's doing. They're in sync with God, you know what I mean? And boy, they start serving based on the light that God's given them. And they start working. And generally, when that happens, the Christians come unglued. And just go, ah, you're just crazy. You're just nuts. I mean, that's what happened to William Carey. William Carey's weeping over a map of the world. He's a cobbler. He's weeping over that thing. Why? He's burdened. He wants to go. He wants to tell them about Jesus Christ. He wants to be a missionary. Now, some of you, you say, well, what's so weird about that? In his day and age, that wasn't done. It wasn't done. And the religious leaders of his day said, oh, if God wants to win the heathen, he can do it. He doesn't need you. And but they discouraged him and just said, man, you're just so different. You're just so strange. You're just so far out there. Whatever. I mean, they just on and on and on. You say, what's going on? William Carey's he's clued into God. And he serves God based on that. And the brethren thought he was nuts. Isn't that something how that is? I mean, it's an amazing thing. John Wesley, well, they wouldn't give him a parish. He said, well, in all the world's my parish. How does it go to the world? I mean, you know, just over, I think that was Wesley. Was that Wesley that did that? Or was that Whitfield? I think it was Wesley. Well, I mean, it just gets to the point. I mean, you know, they want to serve God, and God's dealing with them. They have an understanding, and people around them think they're nuts. I mean, that's just, you know, and the Lord set it up that way. I mean, this whole thing, more and more, I'll get to my notes in a bit, but this whole life, you know what it's all set up about? You know what the whole thing is? To check your heart. That's all it is. Whether or not you're going to love God more than anything else. That's just all it is. I mean, you can't serve two masters. We just read that tonight. But I mean, just over and over and over, the opposition that you're going to get in this world, whether it's with your body, whether it's with the world, the flesh, your family, friends, loneliness, money, whatever it is, it's all just based on, do you love me? Do you love the Lord? Do you love him more than anything? That's what it is. I mean, the Lord set it up. It's an amazing thing. And in your Bible here now, there's a lady by the name of Mary. And I want to preach on the subject of Mary, quite contrary. And Mary is somebody that's clued into God. She is. She is aware of who he is and what's going to happen. And she's aware of it and serves God based on the knowledge that she has of who he is. And Mary, let me say number one, Mary is always attentive to the Lord. This always was. Go back to Luke 10. It's an amazing thing, but when you read about Mary, I mean, when the Lord's in her presence, she isn't paying attention to anybody else, nothing else. I mean, when the Lord's there, she's just, boom, glued on him. Man, that's how you ought to be in your life. Now, I know you got to pay attention when you're driving your car, I understand that, you know, or at your work or whatever, but there ought to be a throughout the day, just a walk with God, just you and God, commune and fellowship and you and the Lord going through the day. That ought to be there. Lots of times it's not. You say, oh, preacher, you always do that? No, I don't always do that. But I ought to. I ought to. And Mary is somebody, when the Lord's there, she's just boom. She's just aware of him. And that's a good thing. Jesus is always in her view. Look at Luke 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. By the way, the Bible says the Lord loved them both. Because I'll be a little critical of Martha, you know, and I know she... You know, of course, that's the way it's recorded in the Bible. But nevertheless, the Lord loved them both, so I don't want to be too harsh. But nevertheless, verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? And but the thing is, Mary's right there. Mary's having a Bible study with the Lord. Can you imagine having a Bible study with the Lord? I mean, just you and the Lord. Now, sometimes it can be that way. I mean, you'd be by yourself, get your Bible out and say, oh, God, give me something. And man, there's times the Lord come along and there'll be some verses and it's like here. And boy, he opens your understanding and just you and God fellowship. I'll tell you, it's sweet when it's like that way. It's not always that way, but boy, it's sweet. Lots of times in the trials, lots of times in the valleys, it gets that way. It's rarely that way on a mountaintop. But Jesus Christ is in our view. And it's amazing how saints can go through life and the Lord's trying to get their attention and they're just, either they're purposefully ignoring him or they're just real slow. I mean, I've seen some guys, man. I know there's one guy, he actually helped me when I first got saved. He discipled me, taught me Bible and stuff. But when it came to practical things, the guy was clueless. I look back on it. I'll tell you, I look back on it. I think he was called to preach, and he wasn't surrendering. But I mean, this guy, he'd teach me Bible and stuff and spend time with me. And the trials, I mean, just, he'd be going through life, and I mean, just things come unglued. It was like he'd just go, bam! You know, and he'd come up. I said, what was that about, Don? And he goes, well, we just got to trust God. The Lord knows what he's doing. Blam! You know? And it's like, Don, what was that? Well, you just got to trust God. God's just a wonderful God. Blam! You know? It's like, man, would you find out what's going on? Sometimes Christians, man, they just blam, blam, getting all beat up. And the whole time God's saying, hello, anybody there? I'm trying to get your attention. You know, so, well, we just love God. We just got to just quit the piety, all right? You know, just knock it off and say, you know, I guess I'm kind of stupid or something. I mean, you know, so it's amazing how people are, you know. I mean, if you've been going through some trials, do you know why? Do you know what's going on? Well, I don't know. Why don't you find out? I know somebody who knows. You know, I know somebody who knows exactly what's going on. And, you know, you go to him and say, Lord, what was that all about? Maybe you're afraid of the answer. You know, maybe that's it. I don't know. But I mean, I'll tell you what, it's not God's will for you to go through trials and not figure out what the Lord's doing. I mean, it just, I'm slow, right? I'm slow. I mean, you don't try to pastor four times before you get the clue. You're not a pastor, all right? I mean, I'm one that goes, you know, well, what was that all about? I don't know. I'm one that'll go up against a brick wall, you know, bam, oh, that hurt. Let's try it again. Bam, oh, that hurt. Four times, man. Fourth time, bam. Lord says, there's not a door there. No, I guess not. It's like, I'm slow, you know, it's just how it is. But, I mean, go to John. Look at John. Go to John chapter 12. I mean, God is alive. God works. God will give you light. Listen, that it's not God's will for you to be in confusion. You know, it just isn't. But you've got to have the Lord in your view. And John chapter 12, I mean, they're having a supper there. And verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I mean, Mary is attending to the Lord. And the others, they're talking, you know, eating, whatever. And Mary, her attendance is on the Lord. I mean, Mary was always just, he was front and center of Mary's life when she's in the presence of him. And obviously, she just lived her life, she loved the Lord, there's no doubt about that. But nevertheless, he was always in her view when she was in his presence. And the Lord needs to be in your view. And if there's things clouding your view of him, they need to be taken out of the way. You say, like what? I don't know. But how aware of God are you in your life? That's one of the reasons to fast. That's one of the reasons to get alone with God. That's, you know, it's just to get you know, in view of God. And I want to say number two, because of her view and her just sights on God, she had acutely spiritual service. That's very important. Acutely spiritual. spiritual service. What do you mean? Her service for the Lord was apart from everybody else in the Bible. It was different from everybody else in the Bible. Nobody even understood where Mary was coming from. They didn't have a clue. And she's in a realm, man. She's serving God, doing what God wants her to do. It's an amazing thing. She knew exactly what to do. She had revelation that even the 12 disciples didn't have. She did. I mean, look at John 12 and look at verse 7. Then said Jesus, let her alone against the day of my burying. Hell, she kept this. Do you realize when he said that, they didn't know what he just said? They didn't understand it. Against the day of my burying, they're like, what's he talking about? I don't know. Go to Luke. Look at Luke 18. Mary's got an understanding that the others don't have. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Luke 18, and look at verse 31. Luke 18, verse 31. Of course, they're getting ready. I mean, here in Luke, getting up. It's got a little ways to go, but going to the cross. And verse 31, then he took unto him the 12. Well, you know who that is. That's the ones close to him. And said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of those things. See that thing? You know who understood? Mary. Mary understood. They didn't. And her service, because of it, was different. And if the things you understand, listen, you know, you people here tonight, you know the majority, and I say majority, I'm talking like 90% of the churches in Baldwin County, even though this is Bible Belt, 90% of the churches around here think you're nuts. Because you believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Oh, that's just one of those King James only churches. Oh, and they think it's the Word of God. And they just think they're better than thou. And on and on and on. No, we're not better than anybody. I mean, we deserve hell. But we just know it's the Word of God. And because of that, our service is different. We're going to serve God based on the light he's given us. And the brethren, God bless the brethren, think we're nuts. Make fun of us. Think, oh, you're just splitting churches. And you're just causing trouble. And you're just on that King James, King James, King James, and on and on and on. Why? They don't understand. They don't understand. So they attack you thinking that you're just kind of extreme. You know? That's it. And that, you know, that happens to Mary. You take Mary serving God. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. But based upon your understanding of spiritual things, your service will reflect that. That's why you go street preaching. I mean, a lot of the churches, oh, it doesn't do any good. You're not going to build a church on that. I mean, straight preaching, well, what good's it do? It's the Word of God. And you're getting the Word of God out. But to the average church, they don't see any importance of the Word of God. It's just, well, we're church, and so we just use it, you know, because it's the Bible, you know, and you know, that sort of thing. But it's just a book. It doesn't mean anything to them. And so their service is based on their light, and it's not, everything's done to build their church or their organization, and it's run more like a business than a ministry. You know? And you say, why? Because their understanding of spiritual things isn't all that great. Amen, amen, amen. I got a couple stories here, but there's one brother, he took a church. The pastor before him had not done right, not done good. And I don't want to go in a lot of detail, but the church was spiritually dark. Let me just say that. It just spiritually, there was a lot of wickedness around. And this brother was in the church. The pastor left. He'd done some bad things and stuff and left. And so this brother, he left afraid that he was going to get in. And finally, he did get in. He wasn't trying to. And the Lord put him in there. And it was a ramshackle country building. It was about half broken down in the country, didn't even have restrooms, still had an outhouse, you know, that sort of thing, and just kind of rough. And he took it. He is excited, man. Boy, he had a heart for that ministry. And boy, he got working in there and working in there, and he got doing things. And the people thought, he's gone nuts. He's just gone nuts. I mean, he got out there, and it's kind of country where this building was, and he said crows, black crows, would sit on the roof of that church. He started shooting all the crows off. I mean, he said, them crows, they're slick, man. You got to be smart. He'd sleep in this little loft in the carport away from the church. And he said he'd wake up at dawn, you know, waiting, and the crows would come up and get on the church. He'd take a .22, start shooting them off, man. And then he's shooting all these frogs. And he said there were frogs everywhere. And he started cleaning that place up, getting all the snakes and frogs and just junk, man. I mean, it was a mess. And boy, he starts, and now it's bricked up, you know, and it's looking real good and all that sort of thing. We're working there. And then, you know what he did? He got to a point, he slept in the church. You say, so, have you ever slept in a church? It's not fun. When we were in our Volkswagen, we slept in churches. There's something about it, man. Just something about it. And these are good churches. That church, there was no doubt it was messed up spiritually. And I asked him, I said, how did you do that? And he goes, I don't know. I said, I know how you did it. I said, as a shepherd, your heart was for those people. And you knew that stuff was damaging. And he slept in there. He didn't go into detail. He didn't tell me a bunch of stories. All he said was this one. He said, well, there was times, he said, I was yelling in the middle of the night saying, God, if I got to die here, I'll die here, but I'm not leaving. And that's all he said. Now, you can fill in the blanks. There's stuff going on there. And now that church being cleaned out, people getting saved. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on there. God's working and moving and doing things. But even to this day, that preacher, he's got a little, it's not even a full roof. It's like a room. It's about this high. It's under the front porch. And that's where he sleeps. And he's got people in his church going, come on, preacher. I mean, people say, you know, you're that church? Yeah. You know, oh, you're the church where that preacher sleeps down in that place, huh? And they're like, yeah. And they're embarrassed of their preacher. They don't even have a clue. His own people don't even have a clue of what he's doing and why. You say, what's going on? He's in battle. And he's claiming ground. So those people will benefit and grow in the Lord. And even his own people don't even have a clue, some of them. And to a certain extent, they don't need to. There's things a pastor's going to go through and bear, and there's other people they don't need to understand. You know, it's a call. It's your preacher. You're called to do things and stuff. But I'm just saying, Mary's service was acutely spiritual. It was in a spiritual realm. And those around her, they didn't have a clue what she was doing. Didn't have a clue. And because of that, she gets attacked by family and brethren. She gets attacked. I mean, go back to Luke 10. This is an amazing thing. I mean, you're gonna, if you serve God the way He leads you to serve Him, people around you are gonna get upset. That's all there is to it. I mean, it happened over and over and over and over and over in church history. But look at Luke 10. And this is an amazing thing. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. I mean, Martha's in there getting supper ready, you know, and she's working. I mean, she's a worker. She's working like mad. Do. Let's go. Let's work. And man, she's in there, and she's got a good heart. She does. But boy, she's working away, and pretty soon she burns herself, and things aren't going good. And while she's working, she's like, what is Mary doing? She's sitting in there doing nothing. And man, Mary's in there, and don't you know she's having a good time with the Lord? I mean, the Lord just giving her a Bible study, and she and the Lord are just having a wonderful time. And while she's having a wonderful time, her sister's getting madder and madder and madder at her. At her. And she hadn't done nothing to her sister. You know, it's like, you know, and I can see her in there, you know, and she's just having a good time. And boy, Martha's just getting madder and madder. And you know, Martha, look at this thing now. But Martha's coming about much serving and came to Him. I mean, here comes Martha. I can just see her coming out, you know, some house, you know, old house type thing, you know. And she comes out and she comes in there like, you know, you know, I'm going to straighten this thing out, you know. And you know what Martha thought? She thought she's going to straighten the Lord out. Have you ever thought you knew God's will for God? There's been times I've thought I knew God's will for God, and He let me know I was wrong. And to this day, I'm glad He did, because if it would have been what I thought, oh man, it wouldn't have been good. But she came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care? Oh, Lord, don't you even care? Don't you see how hard I'm working? Now, it's real instructive. Here's a woman working, frustrated, sweating, I mean, just working as hard as she can, and her sister is just sitting, enjoying fellowship with God, and which one's right? Well, the one sitting there having fellowship with God. That doesn't mean you can't do anything. Don't get me wrong. But it's amazing. Martha, she says, dost Thou not care that my sister had left me? Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me? I'm all alone. I'm the only one. I just got to, if it weren't for me, what would this ministry do? I don't know. The martyr complex, you know. Oh, you know, I'm doing it all. Nobody cares. I guess somebody's got to do, you know, all that stuff. If you've got that, you know, maybe you need to just stop and have a Bible study with the Lord, you know? Amen. I mean, dost Thou not care that my sister left me to serve alone? Oh, I'm the only one, you know, I mean, that sort of thing. Now watch this. Bid her, therefore. Do you realize Martha tells the Lord what to do? Do you realize that? This is Martha telling Jesus, bid her, Lord, tell her to get in here and help me. Woo! Wow, that's something, man, when you start telling God what to do. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. You know, Martha thought that was God's will for Mary. Do you know that? She was convinced that that was God's will for Mary. And that the Lord needed to just tell her, get in here. Obviously, Mary is just not getting the message. I know the Lord's trying, but, you know, Mary's a little slow, not getting it. So let me just go in there and help him, you know. That's amazing. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. That's not a good condition to be in. Careful and troubled about many things. You know, there's a lot of Christians like that. Oh no, what are we going to do? Oh no, Obamacare. Oh no, the government. Oh no, what's this? Oh, what are we going to do? I say everything's horrible. Hey man, the Lord's got everything under control. Right. I get tired of that stuff. Look at all this stuff, you know. Oh, look at this, look at this. Oh, no. Any day now, we're going down. No, I'm going up. That's amazing, man. I think it's a diversion. Why don't you just get all concerned about what God wants you to do? It's amazing that people, they just, you know, I've got this internet ministry now. Well, all you got to do is get an ISP and get a computer and I've got a ministry. Oh, yeah, okay. It's crazy, man. God didn't do nothing. You know, it just, anyway, I'm venting, okay, so I just... He says there, Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Martha, what you're doing is not needed. Isn't that something? I bet that surprised her. What? Well, what are we going to do for supper? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I've fed 5,000. We can do something, you know. But one thing is needful. When you think that, you know, nobody can get by without your ministry, you got problems. Amen. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. I mean, to Martha, it looked like Mary was doing nothing. Really? She thought Mary was wasting time and doing nothing. And that isn't what the Lord said. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. But Mary gets attacked by her sister. What did Mary do to her sister? Nothing. Nothing, man. I mean, how many people, they get saved? Some of you young men, you're saved, and your family isn't, and you're going to try and live for God, and they're going to think you're nuts. They'll think you're nuts. I mean, there's places where somebody gets saved, Roman Catholic gets saved, they'll have a funeral for them. So, you know, or Jewish, you know, say, so, oh, they're no longer alive. And but there's all kinds of trouble, you know, all that sort of thing. And man, I remember when I first got saved, the trouble that came up, and it's like, man, what did I do? God, I'm just... But that's the nature of things. That's how it is. I mean, you start serving based on the light God gives you, and those around you that don't have that light think you're nuts. And think, oh, better than thou, you know. All that sort of thing. You say, well, what do you do? I'll get to that in a minute. I'm just saying, mark it down. If you serve the Lord as God leads you, generally there'll be someone around there saying, that's not God's will for your life. Then I think about Brother Del Grande. He came off the road. Now, he's still taking some meetings, but he came off the road. He's up there in upstate New York at Brother Abersold's church, and I was talking to him. He said, Brother, it was just like in your book, Pursuit. He said, God was showing me this, and God showed me that, and God showed me that, and I was getting off the road, and I had guys calling me saying, you're backslidden. You're not right with God. He said, that was just like you said. He said, why is it that way? Well, God set it up that way. See if you'll still trust Him and serve Him. See if you're willing to go alone. Amen? I mean, it just, she gets attacked by the brethren. Go to John 12. When you get ready to serve God, and God shows you what He wants you to do, chances are somebody going to come around and say, well, that's not God's will for your life. I mean, that's just it. And you got to listen. I figure if somebody tells me something, I it's my duty to pray over it. And, you know, that sort of thing. But look at John 12. I mean, Mary's just trying to serve God and do what God wants her to do, and she gets attacked. Look at John 12, verse 3 again. Then took Mary a pound of ointment. I mean, they're having supper there with Jesus. Lazarus was there. Maybe they're asking Lazarus some questions, and there's people around there. Mary's there, and I don't think anybody noticed. They're eating. They're having a time. And Mary gets up and leaves. I don't think anybody noticed. She just left. And she went in, maybe she went to her bedroom, she kept it, and got that box of Spikenard. And all by herself, I mean, she's just, that's him. And it's time. And nobody around that table understood. No one understood. And she got that box, and they're talking, and they're eating. All, maybe they heard a, you know, a crack or something. What's that? And here's Mary down at the Lord's feet. And boy, she's anointing his feet, and she's putting it on his feet there, and she's just working there on the Lord, and pretty soon everybody's getting upset. Isn't that something? Was she bugging them? No. You know, the devils cannot stand adoration of Jesus Christ. But when you start adoring the Savior and just, Lord, you're so good and I love you. And boy, you're lavishing your service on Jesus Christ and serving Him. The devils around you come unglued. They don't like that. Yeah, man, she's not even bugging them. But she bugs them. And boy, they just, here comes the first devil, Judas. Oh, just immediately. Oh, why wasn't that sold and given 300 pence? I mean, we could have given it to the poor. So just immediately, and over in Matthew, it says all of them started complaining. And she's got a service that's above others, and when she does it, she gets attacked. She gets attacked. I just mark it down. You start serving God the way God directs you, and somebody's going to attack you. And you just got to go through that thing, and you and God walk through that thing and serve Him. And serve Him. And sometimes it knocks people out of the race. Sometimes it's like, oh. I mean, I asked when I got, I don't even know why I'm going into all this, but evangelism. I surrendered three times to evangelism, and all three times I consulted a good preacher. And I don't hold it against them. I don't hold it against them at all. I mean, we're talking good men that I look up to, consulted them three times over a period of 9 years, said, brother, I think God's called me into evangelism. No, brother, you're just discouraged. No, brother, you're just discouraged. No, brother, you need to go back and take that church. I mean, just, no, that's not God's will. That's not God's will. That's not God's will. And the last time I said, I don't care what anybody says. And it wasn't a voice. But it was like the Lord said, well, it's about time. I'm serious. I just sensed heaven went, finally, that's 13 years, you know. I mean, it was, I'm slow. It's like I said, I kept hitting the brick wall, and God's going, no, don't do that. But she gets attacked by the brethren. I mean, how many people get attacked? I mean, if you're raised in a Roman Catholic family or Buddhist or whatever, and you get saved, and they're like, oh, that's nice, but when you get baptized, woo, what would, you say, why? Because that lets them know their baptism's no good. Oh, man. Oh, my God. They come unglued. What are you doing? You're acting on the light God gave you. And family and friends. You know what? I'll get to this. I'll finish when I'm done. Why did Jesus come? Well, He came to save sinners. Yep, He did. He did. Why else? Well, He came to do His Father's will. Mm-hmm. He did. Why else? He came. Where's another one? I forget. Yeah, light of the world. There you go. Yeah, that they might have light and they might have it more abundantly and that sort of thing. Life more abundantly, that sort of thing. You know what? There's another one that really is different. Go to Luke 12. I mean, you get serving God, you know what might happen? It might bust up your home. Do you know that? If you stand for the truth, chances are somewhere in your home it's going to get busted up. If you're a mom or dad, or if you're a son or daughter, doesn't matter, either way. Look at Luke 12. Look at Luke 12 and verse 51. Luke 12:51. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? Well, most everybody believes that. The Lord came to bring peace. There's no peace coming until the Prince of Peace comes. And that's Jesus Christ. But look at this thing. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay. Who said that? The Lord said that. I tell you, nay, but rather division. Now, you know what that said? He said, I came to bring division. Isn't that something? That's an amazing thing. Now, look at it. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided. Three against two and two against three. Is that why the Lord came? Yeah. Isn't that weird? I mean, you look at that and go, no. We're God just wants it one big happy family. If you have that, praise God, but chances are you don't. If you stand up for the Word of God, if you have convictions, like I mentioned yesterday, I mean, what kind of convictions do you have where you say, I will not go beyond this line? I mean, your service for Him is going to be based on light, unless you compromise. You got the light, but I'm not going to let it affect my living and my do's and don'ts and the way I live that much. He says there, the Father should be divided against the Son. Is that one of the reasons the Lord came? It is. And the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. See, maybe there's someone here tonight, you think you're backslidden, but you're just trying to do right. It's an amazing thing. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and then he just stops. That's one of the reasons the Lord came. If you serve God based on the light that God gives you, and you stand on that King James Bible, chances are, in your home, there's going to be some division. Just because you're trying to do right. That's all. And if you have a home where there's some division because you're trying to do right, I'm not saying that you're perfect. I'm not, you know, there's none of that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you're trying to do right. You're trying to live according to the Bible. And those around you are getting mad and getting upset. And all you're trying to do is please God. And people are getting mad. Being all upset. And division's coming in. You know what? You're biblical. That's been a blessing to me, man. I saw that thing. I said, God, thank you. At least it's biblical. You say, what's going on? You got light. You acted on that light. You're living according to the light God's given you. And that light that God's given you has increased your convictions of what's right and what's wrong. And those around you don't like it. And they're mad and they're upset. And the Lord said, well, I came to do that. He said, why? Because the Lord wants to know, do you love me above your family? Do you love me above your family? That's it. I mean, Mary's one that she's acting on the light God gives her, and when she acts on that light and serves the Lord out of the understanding she has, I mean, she's just minding her own business, and those around her are getting mad. Mary, quite contrary. Oh, you Bible believers, you're just so contrary. You know, in your family, you know, mom, dad, I love you. Oh, you're just so contrary. Or son, you got to do right. I mean, here's what the Bible, I'm the head of my home, and this is the way it's got to be. Oh, you're just so extreme. You better hold that ground. You better serve God according to the light He gives you. Mary does. I want to say, fourthly, her advocate was the Lord. If you stand and you serve God based on the light God gives you, Jesus Christ will defend you. He'll stand up for you, and he'll help you get through those things. No, there may not be reconciliation with loved ones, but there'll be a smile on the face of God, and you'll get to heaven and hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But her advocate was the Lord. You know, he gently rebukes Martha. He said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing's needful." He didn't just actually, you know, just, you know, rip her face off, as they say. But he said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And one thing's needful." And boy, he just kind of said, look at, Mary's doing the right thing. And really, you know what the Lord said? He said, "Martha, why don't you come join us? You'll do a lot better if you'll just come join us." You know, I mean, that's what's going on there. He defends her. I mean, over there, go back to John 12. Look what he says to him there. I mean, Judas starts complaining, and then the others over in Matthew, they're complaining. And look at what the Lord says. Verse 7, then said Jesus, "Let her alone." He said, "Let her alone. Just leave her alone." I mean, the Lord defends her every time. And she's serving God based on that light and that understanding. She's doing right. And those around her, they don't understand it. They don't understand it. I heard a story one time about a young lady. At the time, it was Tennessee Temple when they were doing decent anyway. And it was in the 80s. But they were having a big missions conference and, you know, like 2,000 people there, big auditorium stuff. And the invitation was given. And there was a young lady, I believe in school, but anyway, there was a young lady there, 18 years old, from what I'm told. I've never met her or anything like that, but they said she was very pretty. She was very petite, long blonde hair, and she came forward and surrendered. God had dealt with her heart about going to the headhunters of Malaysia. Now, these headhunters in Malaysia were extremely violent. They were cannibals. They had eaten every missionary that went up there to try to win them to the Lord. They'd eat them all. And people were afraid to go there, and they had a big reputation of being just furious. I mean, just bad dudes, as they say. And she surrendered to go to them as a missionary. She's single, wasn't married. Her mom and dad were there, and she told them, and they said, "No way, we are not, you must be out of your mind. There's no way God would tell you to do that." I mean, she said, "But God's dealt with my heart about this. I know that the Lord wants me to go." They said, "We will not let you go." And they said, "We got to go talk to Pastor." And she said, "All right." And they went into Pastor's office, and they said, "Pastor, you cannot allow her to go. You cannot give her your blessing, so to speak." That young lady got on her knees in the office in front of the pastor, tears running down her cheeks, and said, "Pastor, you've preached that God is the God of the impossible. Pastor, he's dealt with me. You've got to let me go." And the mom and dad are there going, shaking their heads. And that pastor said something to the effect, "I wanted so much to say, 'No, you're not going.' But he said, 'I couldn't.' And he said, 'I had to say, if that's what you believe God wants you to do, then you have my approval.'" I don't know how mom and dad reacted. That young lady, she started preparing to go to these headhunters. One of the things she had to do, these hunters were so violent that they would not land the helicopter. They would only hover above the ground. She had to take a crash course in rappelling out of a helicopter. And so she took her crash course, whatever, you know. And the whole way, I mean, the youth pastor is going, "Now, honey, you, You can quit. We're not going to think badly of you. You don't have to go through with this. And she said, no, I believe it's what God wants me to do. And just day after day, she just kept going with this in mind. And finally, the day came and they flew over to Malaysia. She had a couple duffels of clothes and things. The youth pastor went with her. She got to the place where they were going to load the helicopter, and they did. And the pilot of the helicopter was an older man, and he'd flown for missionaries for many, many years. She got on that helicopter, and the youth pastor got on, and there's stuff's there. The youth pastor's got tears in his eyes, thinking, she's going to be dead. We'll never see her again this side of heaven. The pilot's firing up the engines, and he looks back and says, honey, don't you understand? You're not coming back. Don't you understand we're never going to see you again? And she said, God wants me to go. I've just got to go. And boy, there he starts up the blades, and boy, that chopper gets going, and he takes off, and they go, and they fly in. And there's a grass clearing where they're going to let her down, and gets over that clearing, and he's now got tears coming out of his eyes. The youth tears coming out of his eyes, and she's excited. But that man says, honey, and she looks to him and says, yes. And he said, don't you understand? You don't have to do this. You don't have to go. Don't you understand? We're never going to see you again. And he said, don't you realize you're not coming back? That 18-year-old girl said, I don't have to come back. I just have to go. And with that, they threw her duffels out the opening there, and she rappelled, got down on the ground. She is happy, smiling, looked up there and waved. Everything was good. And the youth pastor's up there, tears coming out of his eyes, and that chopper took off, left. She's standing there, and all of a sudden, all these natives from the tribe started coming out towards her. She didn't know what was going to happen. All the men. And boy, they came out, and she's standing there, and they picked up her duffel, and all of a sudden everybody went to work. They just started going like mad. Man, they're just working, 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 just going like mad, and she's just standing there. And they cleared a place, and man, they're building this grass hut. I mean, some of them actually got down and started worshiping her. She's like, what is this? Long story short, The plan was the chopper would come back in 60 days. And it did. When it got back there, they didn't expect to see her. Boy, it came there, and there she was waving, and that whole village was there, going to see her off. And what the story goes, when she got there, they all started working, working, working. There was a tradition in that tribe. Number one, they never ate women. They didn't eat women. They only ate men. And the reason, and nobody knew that. Nobody knew that. And the reason they only ate men, because there was a tradition in that tribe that one day a god, a female god with blonde hair, was going to come out of the sky. And when she came out of that chopper and came in there, they thought she was a god. And she said, I'm not God, but I'm sent by God to tell you about him. She said it was the easiest soul winning she'd ever done. I mean, and that whole place got saved, and man, they come back for her, and they all came after that. That whole tribe been born again, and knew about Jesus Christ, and all that sort of thing. You say, what's going on there? She had light from God that others didn't have, and she served him according to that light, and it was what God wanted her to do. God bless that thing. God's going to give you light, each one of you. And those around you aren't going to have it. And they may think you're nuts. They may think you're crazy. Now, it's not going to go against this book. It's not some charismatic vision and stuff that goes against that. I'm not talking about that. It's going to be something that the Lord wants you to do, something like that. And when you do it, your advocate's going to be the Lord. And last of all, Mary gave her best. She gave her best. Based on the light. Listen, she knew that was Jesus Christ. She knew he was going to die. She had this box of spikenard, and she understood what it was for, and it was very costly, and she gave of her best to Jesus Christ. Gave her best. Will you? Will you give your best to Jesus Christ based on what he wants you to do? I don't know what he wants you to do. I know this, if you do what he wants you to do, you can be so busy doing it, and all of a sudden a bunch of people get mad at you. I know that. That's what happened to Mary. But can you imagine? I mean, here they are having supper. Mary's there, and all of a sudden she gets up and leaves. Maybe somebody came in and took her place, I don't know. She comes back with that box, she breaks it. People start aware, and then by the time they're aware, she's at his feet, and she's poured it on his feet. And then she takes her hair. Obviously, her hair was long. That's another sermon. But anyway, she takes her hair. Maybe she's down there by the feet of Jesus, and she takes that hair, and she wipes him, wipes his feet. You know, Mary is one of the few people in the Bible to ever get any dirt off of God. Isn't that something? And in order to do that, she had to tarnish her glory. Yeah, see, ladies, your hair's glory, the Bible says. And boy, she was willing to tarnish that glory, got down there and wiped him with her hair, got that ointment back off of there, and anointed him, getting him ready for the cross. And nobody around that table knew what she was doing. I mean, they knew what she was doing. You know, they could see what she was doing, but they didn't know what she was doing. They didn't understand. She's in a different realm. She's serving God based on the light God's given her. And boy, she's there serving him in a way nobody else ever did. And served him and wiped his feet with her hair. Can you imagine that? Just the adoration of Jesus Christ? This side of heaven. I mean, we get to heaven, we'll adore him. But that's just because we'll be right then. Here's a lady that adores him in this life. Man. I wonder if later on that day, you know, wherever she walked around, people are like, boy, she smells good. They could smell that spikenard, you know. And maybe later on that day, old Mary, she's just reminiscing. She's thinking about that, doing that for Jesus. And she's thinking about that, just reminiscing of her service. And maybe she just kind of takes some of that hair and it'll smile. Smells so good. Maybe cut that hair off and put it in a drawer somewhere. Every now and then she'd go in there and open it. She'd think about the day she got to adore Jesus Christ and her service for him. Oh, it'd bring a smile to her face. She'd think about that. Nobody else got to do that. Nobody else served him like that. She did. And one of these days, if the Lord tarries, I'm going to die, like that I preached on. I'm going to die. I'm going to be laying there and maybe trying to get air and, you know, whatever. I'll be laying there. And I'll be able to think back by the grace of God on a life spent serving him. And as I think back, oh, not famous. I don't care. Doesn't matter. Not, oh, look at him. No. Just a life spent serving him. And as I lay on my deathbed, if the Lord tarries, a smile come across my face. I spent it for him. And I served my Lord. And I'm going to see you in a few minutes, Lord. But it was spent for you. Oh, nothing like that. If I could put it together, God's going to give you light. Going to give you light. If you serve according to the light God gives you, people are going to get mad. But one day, you can look back on a life where you did right. And it'll bring a smile to your face. And you'll hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's worth it. Let's pray. Father, dear Lord Jesus Christ, you're our God. You're our Savior. You're to be our Lord and Master. God, help us to serve you based on light, based on Scripture. Lord, we know these are your words. We know there's a judgment coming, judgment seat of Christ. We know all kinds of things. I pray, Lord God, you'd help me and each one of us here tonight to stand on the light and to serve you based on the light you give us. And if it divides family and friends, so be it. But God, help us. Please, bless the message, Lord. God, help us to realize if people are upset, there's a reason. They got upset at Mary. Lord, please give us light and give us more light and help us live our lives and serve you accordingly. God, I pray this sermon made sense. I just pray it speak to hearts. I don't know the needs. But, oh God, help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you want to come, pray. Others are up here. Whatever it is. Serve the Lord. Serve the King, the God of the universe. It's a privilege to adore Jesus, to lavish him with love and service and bear reproach for him. I don't know. We're in an age where Christians are letting it slide. Oh, they know they should be a missionary or called to preach. They know what they ought to do. They're just not doing it. They're not standing. Might bust up their home. Might bust up their friends, family, whatever. It's time that the Word of God and Jesus Christ are more important than peace and unity and all that stuff. You gotta do right. You gotta do right. That doesn't mean you're a jerk or something like that. I'm not saying that. Mary wasn't. She's just trying to serve God. She's trying to, based on the light he gave her, and people got upset. Maybe you're here tonight and you're trying to serve the Lord, and the harder you try, the more people get mad. And you're like, I don't understand. That's just how it is. That's what happened to Mary. Just serving God, just trying to do right, and her sister's mad, and the disciples get mad, and she wasn't even dealing with them. Maybe you've been trying to do right, and the ones you love the most are mad. And you're wondering, why? What did I do? Nothing. You're just doing right. God's giving you light. Carry on. Carry on. The Lord will defend you. The Lord will work it out one way or another. It'll be all right. The Lord will take care of it. You just do right. Put Jesus first. He'll get you through.
You ever feel sometimes like you're trying to talk to a family member or something, and it's like you're just on a different planet? You can't even reach them. You want to. You try to explain and show them what the Lord showed you, and you're not even speaking the same language. They rip your heart out. You want so bad to see him have what you have.
Yes, sir.
All you can do is keep praying. Or you can get like Martha. Read you something here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 2. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. And that's it. That's it. Lord, you try my heart. You see. Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, you show me. There's someplace I'm not loving you like I should, you show me. And he will. I trust you were ministered to this evening. I know I was. I'm glad I was here. I was telling them earlier when they were up here singing, I said, this is one of those times you just want to ask the Lord if you can just, you know, build three tabernacles and stay here. this is good, Lord, right here. The Lord says, no, you got to go to work tomorrow. No, there's something else to do. I told Norton, you all be working on a song on that. Amen. But then you end it with another tabernacle not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And when we get there and say, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And the Lord says, you'd stay. Amen. And we're traveling on. Amen. That's good. I like it. All right, we'll stand and be dismissed. I hope you can make it back here. 6:30, are you praying? Somebody's been praying. I'm glad somebody's been praying. Amen. I'm glad the Lord showed up tonight. I hope He spoke to your heart. Hope you got some help tonight from the Word of God. Amen. Let's go ahead. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother Wes, if you close us in prayer, please.